Welcome back to the Unraveled Podcast. My name is Nina.
And my name's Alina. And I've had a lot of clients ask me recently just about like HOAs and covenants. I think everyone thinks that those kind of go hand in hand together. I mean, which they kind of do, but they are really two separate things. And that's a topic I felt like that would be cool to discuss in this podcast, just because I don't think people realize there's a difference between the two. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk about that today.
Yeah.
I first wanted to speak to the audience and just kind of explain the difference between an HOA and covenants. So basically, HOA stands for Homeowners Association. That basically means homeowners came together. Homeowners for a community would come together, create an association, basically determining standards for that community. And that could be anything such as having your trash can pulled back in by Fridays, or having the grass cut. What are some other examples?
Sometimes if there's new construction being built, minimum square footage might be required, covenants. Certain amount of brick.
That's in covenants. Sorry, we're doing HOAs.
Well, yeah. Okay, so technically for HOA and covenants, there's some bleed through, but generally for HOA, things like, you're right, trash can, some common maintenance.
Yes. Such as pool, tennis court, and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times with HOAs, there's typically like a monthly or annual fee that's associated with it, that homeowners split to be able to cover those expenses, such as if lawn care is included in your community, like they mm-hmm. have a lawn care company come out and cut your grass and maintain your bushes and stuff. Or if there's a pool or tennis court, obviously there's cost to maintaining those. The community splits the cost of those within the HOA community. And anything else you want to add to HOAs, explaining how HOAs work?
I would say depending on, you know, if it's single family home or townhomes, condos, there is shared expenses for things such as exterior siding, roofs. It really just depends on each scenario.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
And because they're attached, that's why they're shared expenses. Obviously, if you're in a condo or a townhome, you can't just go and repair your portion of the roof, which is why the HOA would kind of manage the funds to repair the entire roof or all the siding or all those common area spaces that are connected within those townhomes or condos to get repaired. Most HOAs wouldn't cover the interior maintenance or anything interior for an attached unit, such as a condo or a townhome, but they would cover like exterior stuff that's shared and connected amongst other units.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's usually a HOA insurance policy. And so owners of those units would need to have interior policies only. So from wall to the inside.
Yes. Yeah. Great point. So we talked about the definition of a HOA, now transitioning to what are covenants and restrictions. So covenants and restrictions, I'm actually going to let you take this one because you kind of already started earlier a little bit talking about it.
So covenants and restrictions can really be very broad or very simple. So it could be as detailed as only certain types of house can be built, certain styles, certain types of siding, certain types of brick or stone, what percentage of the house needs to be covered in those things, what colors are allowed to be used, the types of doors, windows, whether you can have livestock. So there's a zoning, but then also even if the zoning allows for chickens, the HOA's covenants may not.
Correct.
If you're allowed to have rentals, if you're allowed to have short-term, long-term, how many vehicles can be parked. I mean, there's so many things that could fall under the covenants.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've seen some that are very strict and some that are a little bit more flexible.
Yes, absolutely. And I think the biggest difference between the HOAs and covenants are that HOAs are made by the homeowners. It's the Homeowners Association. That's literally what it's called. Covenants and restrictions are usually drafted by an attorney for the developer or builder of that neighborhood because they want certain standards of the homes that are constructed in that area. Mm-hmm. So I would say that's probably the most important.
Yeah. In fact, I had a client that just recently, a few months back, purchased a piece of land that was trying to, so there's a subdivision that is still under development. No houses had been built yet. So it was really just pieces of land. And outside of the subdivision was another piece of land that they were trying to include in that subdivision and include them in the covenants, but they were not going to receive any benefit from those covenants. So they basically petitioned that they didn't want to pay those HOA fees, and they didn't want to be included because they're not going to receive any of the benefits of the common area spaces or amenities or things like that. And they were able to
opt out of it.
Correct.
Okay. It's funny you say that because I showed a house up in like Jasper or something a few weeks ago, and there was a community that was that clearly had covenants restrictions and HOAs. And they, the house that I specifically went to go look at did not have HOAs. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's so strange. I've never heard of a few houses in a community being able to opt out of the HOAs. But I guess it's the same situation occurred that your client dealt with.
Yeah.
And one common thing that I get asked all the time, or people or buyers assume, is that just because a neighborhood has covenants and restrictions, it has HOAs, which is absolutely not correct at all.
Yeah.
I feel like almost every neighborhood has covenants and restrictions,
yeah,
but not every neighborhood has HOAs. Every HOA neighborhood pretty much has covenants and restrictions, yes, but it's not vice versa.
Yeah.
Because again, the HOAs are basically rules, and the covenants and restrictions are restrictions on basically what you can build and what you can do to the property there.
And there's some, you know, variance to this, but usually an HOA can be formed and dissolved after the fact. You know, because you'll see subdivisions come in that are sometimes multiple phases, phase one, phase two, and there might be different rules depending on the phases. Mm-hmm. There's a house I have listed right now to where there is an annual $100 HOA fee that you can opt out of or choose to be involved with.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, then we're talking about voluntary, or is it voluntary, involuntary?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And those are kind of cool. Like, I know there's a few neighborhoods in Athens on the east side that are older neighborhoods where they have pools. I think that's Green Acres and Cedar Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those neighborhoods are involuntary. Yeah.
Voluntary.
Voluntary. Yeah. Which means that you are opting in to, you have the option to use the amenities if you want to, you just pay a separate fee. Majority of HOAs though are involuntary, where you have to pay in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really an interesting topic. I think it's something that more people should have education on, realtors, consumers.
Agreed.
Because it's not the same. And also, it does affect your property. Whether you're buying in a community with very restrictive covenants or, you know, a costly HOA, you want to know, what are you paying for?
Mm-hmm.
What does your future look like? Are there going to be things that need to be repaired that you're going to be required to pay for? You know, when it comes to selling the property down the road, are these units warrantable? Or can you only take a cash offer? There's a lot of things.
It's a whole other episode right there. Warrantable and non-warrantable condos.
But you know, little things like that, to where, hey, you might be buying a property unknowingly. You're going to be paying a special assessment for the next 10 years. You know, it's something that you just need to think about.
Right.
No, and that's one of the downsides, of course, to, you know, an HOA. I think covenants generally, when it comes to a resale, so if someone's buying into a community with covenants, you just have to keep in mind you won't be able to make certain changes or there's certain regulations. And normally it's for the well-being and the values of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
So I would say covenants are a bit easier when it comes to buying into a neighborhood.
Sure. And it's interesting because you can literally drive through a neighborhood and tell if there are HOAs or no HOAs.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the standard of how the properties are maintained. Mm-hmm. If there's no HOAs, which means that there's also nobody enforcing anything.
Correct.
Then most of the people's lawns may have junk in them. The grass could be all grown up. Versus a community that has HOAs, the lawns are probably all perfectly manicured because either the HOA is covering that or they're requiring the homeowners to maintain their lawns. And I've noticed HOAs are more prominent and more restrictive in metropolitan areas like Atlanta or Gwinnett. But here in Athens, they're common, but not as common as those areas. And they're not as restrictive. And, you know, I know in Atlanta, I've heard some people say that they couldn't have their grass above a certain level. And I'm like, that's ridiculous, but that's more common in those metro areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, some other things, you know, like I have a rental property that is in a community with an HOA. And one of the things in the bylaws is that you can't just grow vegetables outside. And so, you know, one of the tenants started growing pumpkins and for their kids' school project, which that's awesome. You know, like I'm all for kids learning how to grow vegetables and do all that. But, you know, in a very short period of time, all of a sudden you know how pumpkins grow? It's just like, yes, they're everywhere.
Yes, just like watermelon.
And as unfortunate as it is, I had to let the property manager know, hey, we can't do that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, the rest of the community, we're all respecting those rules and regulations mm-hmm. for the beauty of the neighborhood.
Correct.
You know, so things correct. Like that. Some downsides, I guess, would be there is some level of control with yes. what you can and cannot do with your property. Yes. So if someone's buying into that neighborhood, don't be mad later that you can't paint your door hot pink. You could have never painted your door hot pink. This you know, you will be fined.
This is true.
You know, so it's kind of humorous. But just pick a neighborhood that, you know, if you really want that freedom to do what you want, if you want chickens, if you want a hot pink door, if you want to live in the country, then you should probably avoid. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you're 100% right. I think that's, I have some clients that are specifically like, I do not want to live in a neighborhood with an HOA mm-hmm. because they don't want to feel like they're restricted to do with whatever they can't. They don't want to feel like they're restricted to do certain things on their property. Correct. They have that like Southern mindset where it's like, this is my land. I bought it. Mm-hmm. You are not going to tell me what to do with it, which yes. is understandable. Everybody has their own preferences. Correct. Me, on the other hand, like I love the idea of having an HOA. I don't have to cut my grass, at least in the front yard. I don't have to maintain any of bushes. I don't have to, I can drive through my neighborhood and everyone's houses look the same. It's nice and clean. It's organized. You know, it's made the neighborhood's maintained. Yes. Whereas on the other hand, I would probably drive me crazy if I lived in a neighborhood that wasn't like that. Like, it really just depends on your preferences. Yeah. And that can easily change later on down the road. But like, if you know what you want when you're looking for a home, that is something that I feel like is important to consider if you're willing to live in a community with the HOA or not. Because like I said, the last thing you want to do is go buy a house and then be like, oh, and then you put chickens in your backyard and find out you can't have chickens because you didn't do your research to realize that there's HOAs there mm-hmm. and your neighbors are going to snitch on you if you have chickens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't have chickens particularly, but I did have renters.
Yeah.
And that wasn't allowed.
Yeah.
And I did have some neighbors that snitched on me.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
that's another signed up for it. That's another downside. Okay. Let's just be honest.
Neighbors are nosy.
The likelihood that you're going to get an individual that enjoys the process of keeping everyone in line, shall we say, is high.
Very, very high. Very
and
high. Especially in a little neighborhood like me where nobody works and everyone's retired and they have too much time on their hands. So all they have time to do is see what I'm doing. And this is just so funny. I can literally, my neighbors are so close. I literally, when I get home from work, I can literally get out of my car and my neighbor's up on his porch. Hey, how are you? How was work? I'm like, I haven't even gotten into my door yet. I'm not even ready to say it's hello like, to anyone.
Don't talk to me. But, I need a cocktail first.
Yeah, but I'm just saying like that's how much everyone is in everyone's business.
Yeah. Like, so on the one hand, the neighborhood is beautiful. It's clean. It's kept mm-hmm. up. Everything's awesome. But then you will have to deal with
nosy neighbors.
Yeah. The nosy neighbors. Someone who's keeping tabs on you, the president of the HOA mm-hmm. wants to make sure, you know, you see these tropes where the president of the HOA is in the lawn, you know, with the measuring tape, measuring your grass.
And it's so legit.
Yeah.
So legit.
Yeah.
They have nothing else to do.
Yeah. So, if you're somebody who's maybe a working professional or doesn't enjoy cutting the grass like me, you will not catch me outside with a lawnmower, you know, so a community with an HOA for temporarily this situation, if someone doesn't want to cut grass, they don't want to maintain their exterior, they maybe don't want to have insurance to cover all of that, then an HOA community is a good fit, you know. But then let's say all the roofs have to be replaced. Then you're going to get either a special assessment for that or your dues will go up over time to cover that cost.
Elaborate what a special assessment is.
So a special assessment is when there is maintenance in a common area or an area. So because there's two different types, right? So a special assessment can be for, let's say, the roads or the green space or a pond or anything that's a common area. Or if it's a condo or a townhome, it might be part of the structure. Mm-hmm. So roofs have to be replaced. Siding may have to be replaced, things like that. And it's because the reserves are not sufficient to cover the cost of that repair. So hopefully you have an HOA that's well managed and they have accounted for these costs mm-hmm. ahead of time and you won't have to do a special assessment. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you an example of a community where I own. they did not save enough money for the repairs that needed to be done. So HOA for the longest time. You're
talking about in a community like condo.
Yes. Okay. So this was a townhome community and they had not saved money for the repairs that inevitably needed to be done mm-hmm. because they were built in the 80s. And so they could have over time saved, and then we wouldn't have been charged. However, they didn't do that. The HOA, the monthly fee stayed the same, but then we all had to pay, you know, a few thousand dollars each unit to get that cost covered. Mm-hmm. So my preference is that they just increase each year a little bit and save it away. And so the other one that I have did it the right way. They increased over time, but then the result of that was anytime there's a repair, there's no cost to the homeowner. Mm-hmm. And I think people would appreciate that more. Mm-hmm. But it's really just, hey, if something happens and needs to be repaired. Now, let's say mm-hmm. there's a tree falls on a unit and there's a repair that's not accounted for. Mm-hmm. That's where another special assessment. So it doesn't matter if it's not affecting your unit. You still have to pay. Mm-hmm. It's equal.
That's a really good explanation. And then another thing I would mention as well is that those fees can change.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they can go up monthly. Usually they change annually. They can go up a little bit. Like mine change annually just because the cost of things went up, right. Such as landscaping and other services. So ours did go up a little bit, a few dollars. But that can fluctuate. And I say all that because that's something you have to consider when you're purchasing a home. Definitely. Is okay, I'm paying HOAs as an additional expense that I'm having to pay for, just like a utility bill.
Yep.
That can fluctuate over the years.
Yeah. It's flexible. It fluctuates. It's important to know who's managing the HOA, mm-hmm. who's the president.
And that they're properly managing it, because then you could have situations like you mentioned earlier where it's improperly managed and it costs you as a homeowner more money.
And my recommendation is if you're considering a neighborhood that has an HOA or you're already living in a neighborhood with an HOA, get involved. Mm. Get on the board. Be part of the decision-making process, because worst case scenario, you know, you're at least kept up to date. But best case scenario, you can help affect the changes and decisions that are made through the community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There was, and I don't know all the details very well. I just remember, what was it, a hurricane or something that happened in Florida mm-hmm. a few years ago? I think it was actually maybe last year, maybe this time last year.
Yep.
And that's normal in Florida. Like Florida has like a lot of, Florida always has a lot of things going on. Unlike Georgia, mm-hmm. like nothing ever happens here. We get rain and we get sun. Like that's about it. We barely even get snow. But Florida deals with a lot of hurricanes mm-hmm. and a lot of, what's the word I'm looking for?
Tornadoes?
Yeah, like they just deal with a lot of stuff. I'm just gonna say they deal with a lot of stuff down there. Mm-hmm. And I know I had heard on TikTok, like just watching TikTok videos when all this went on, after they came out of it, a lot of the condo communities were trying to enforce special assessment or significant HOA increases like this, because they were trying to account for all the damage that was done from that hurricane or whatever happened mm-hmm. and having to get things fixed. But the reality is I think they were trying to go up over $1,000 on some HOAs mm-hmm. monthly, which was more than some of the people that lived in theirs mortgages.
Yeah.
And you're talking about a community where they bought those condos for under $300,000. And so we're talking about, they probably have a mortgage payment of $1,500 or something, if that, because their interest mm-hmm. rates were lower back then. And now they're having to pay almost over $1,000 in HOAs, which is almost equivalent, if not more, to their mortgage. That's unaffordable. And the TikTok I was watching, the girl was profusely crying because she was like, I can't afford that. I'm going to have to sell my condo and I would never be able to buy anything else like this again, because the market's, you know, so much more expensive than it was then, because I can't afford to live here because the HOAs are going up this high. Eventually their community ended up working it out where that did not happen.
Yeah.
But crazy.
But you know why that? It's because they got involved.
Mm. Oh, so, yeah. They advocated for their community. Yeah. They did. You're right.
The best thing you can do, whether your HOA is in trouble or not, is get involved, because it's the squeaky wheel
mm-hmm.
that always gets attention. You know, so if a few homeowners get together, if you don't like what's going on, if something needs to be repaired, just get involved. People love to complain, but just get involved. That way you won't run into a scenario mm-hmm. where all of a sudden your HOA fee goes from, you know, $200 a month to $1,500 a month.
Right.
Because that really can affect someone's bottom line.
That's true.
So wrapping up this conversation, when it comes to if someone wants to choose between a community with just general covenants versus an HOA, what would they want to look at specifically?
I think it just depends on their personal needs, honestly, because I think every neighbor, I have never seen a neighborhood that does not have covenants restrictions. Personally, I just have never seen it. It exists because all developers usually put them in when they're building. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to deal with that regardless. In terms of how restrictive it's going to be or not, like, it's just going to depend on the community and really the area. Mm-hmm. If you are not interested in paying monthly fees or someone telling you you cannot park in your grass or you have to have your grass at a certain inch level, then HOAs are not for you. Like, in the mm-hmm. in the short run, HOAs are not for you.
If you don't like to be told what to do.
Yeah, HOAs are not for you. Correct. But I would say don't be so quick to disregard either one of those things without fully reviewing what they entail.
Yeah.
Because you could have some HOAs that all they're doing is covering the sidewalk and you're paying $6 a month or $50 yeah. a year. I've seen that happen all the time. Mm-hmm. But there's nobody that's, like, there's no homeowners that are enforcing any crazy restrictions. Mm-hmm. So don't be so
quick to say I don't want it,
correct, yeah. until you fully reviewed to see what it entails.
Mm-hmm. And this goes back to what we have said time and time again. It really matters the realtor you hire, because they're the ones who needs to tell you this is what the HOA will allow you to do and will not allow you to do. And they're going to be the ones to guide you on which neighborhoods might be more suitable for your needs. Mm-hmm. And like, if you don't want to do yard work, these are the neighborhoods that the HOA covers those things. This is the associated cost. Mm-hmm. So it just is situational.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I enjoyed this conversation. I think it will be super helpful to hopefully new homeowners or people that are looking to buy real estate, kind of better just understand the differences between the two to kind of help you make a sound decision on what you may want to do and what's more suitable for you.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us. As always, we will launch a new episode every Wednesday. You can find us on social media and wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks for watching.